it's great that the Green Bay Packers beat the Lions and the Chiefs when they had mostly nothing to lose. Now the pressure's back on and they are facing it for the first time in a long time. Plus, the bizarre overreaction on both sides about what's going on with Jaire Alexander, which, by the way, we don't know anything about. Plus, where the Packers stand in the NFC playoff race after Sunday's game. All of that as we get you set for Packers-Giants on Monday Night Football. All of it starts right now.
You are Locked On Packers, your daily Green Bay Packers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks, the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Go to prizepicks.com/LockedOnNFL and use the code LockedOnNFL, all lowercase, for a first deposit match up to $100. As Lois Einhorn in Ace Ventura once said, what would you know about pressure? What does this Green Bay Packers team know about facing pressure? And I don't mean the in the pocket, Jordan Love looking down the barrel of a blitz kind of pressure. We talked last week about this idea of how do you handle success? This is a little bit of a different conversation, though it is certainly related. It is one thing to beat the Lions when going into the Lions game, you understand after a three-game win streak or 3-4 games that you don't have to beat the Lions. You don't have to even beat the Chiefs. You can lose both of those games and there's still a chance for you to make the playoffs if you win your last five against inferior opponents. Now, professional athletes, coaches, they don't really think like that. They're not going into the game going, well, it's okay if we lose this game. No, of course, they're trying to compete to win. But at the same time, the pressure is different. And I love Jordan Love's response when he was asked about this a little bit last week. He said, every game for us is a playoff game now. And that's true because they're trying to fight their way in. They're not some 8-3 team or 9-3 team, whatever you would be after 12 games. They're scrapping and fighting their way into the postseason if they can make it. That's the right mindset to have. But it's one thing to say, and it's another thing to do because you're facing it. When was the last time this team faced this kind of pressure? Now, you can say, oh, well, back during their losing streak, after that, you know, they needed to turn their season around. Did they? Matt LaFleur was probably not going to be fired. Brian Gutekunst was probably not going to be fired. Like Jordan Love faced pressure and guys facing the am I going to have an NFL career week-to-week pressures that always exist were certainly facing pressure. But they started on this run against a Rams team that was also below 500. They fought their way back here too with a backup quarterback. Like, there was not a lot of pressure on them in that game. They were supposed to go out and win. They did, and that's great. But at that point, no one was thinking playoffs because the idea of winning a bunch of these games at the time, based on the way that team was playing, seemed pie in the sky. And I don't believe that the players in the locker room are not affected by the outside narratives. I don't buy it. They hear more than ever. They hear it because they have more access to it, because Twitter exists, because all of these social media platforms exist, YouTube and TikTok and all of the ways that they can get feedback just served to them. They could be minding their own damn business on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter, and they're served something because they're Packers players about themselves, potentially. I mean, genuinely, that could happen. And so they're more aware of all of this stuff than ever before. And they're certainly aware of their position in the league, in their position in the standings. And so going out and beating the Rams, cool. You beat the Chargers. The Chargers are a talented team. They've beaten precisely no one this season of any note. I don't know that they're a great team. They were underdogs in that game. The Packers were. Still good to get a win, no question about it. You go on and it's again, I think a reflection of the talent of this team that they have in successive weeks gone out and beaten teams that are look like no doubt playoff teams. We'll talk about the Lions a little bit later. No doubt playoff teams. But it's one thing to do it from a David versus Goliath kind of situation. It's one thing when no one expects you to win and you can just go play free. That is a different kind of situation than the Packers currently find themselves in. They are now favorites, and they will be favorites likely in every single game the rest of the way. Potentially heavy favorites. They are going to be a touchdown favorite against the Bucs, against the Panthers, against the Bears. We'll see about the Vikings game. So, how do you perform when suddenly the expectations on you have changed? When the pressure on you has shifted? The Packers haven't felt pressure to perform like this since week 4. And even then it was different because we knew the Lions coming in were good. And so it's like, okay, here's the litmus test. You failed. You failed that litmus test. But you had it. Now, I think you can go back to week 1, the last time they passed one of these tests, because you come in, all the offseason, all the change, all of the discussions about Aaron Rodgers and the quarterbacks and Jordan Love, and you go out and you put it on a division rival whose fan base, and by the way, I know the players saw it, talked so much trash all spring, all summer. And the Packers came out and put it on the Bears. But then what do they do in week 2? They go out, they play well for 3 quarters and blow it against a truly, truly mid Falcons team. Just an aggressively meh team. They're not terrible, but they're definitely not good. And you blow it. And then you can't do anything for 3 quarters against the Saints. But then you come back to win and you're feeling good, 2-1. Okay, hey, look, this is going to be fun. Now there are expectations. This is Packers-Lions. Let's go. Thursday night football. And the Packers get their doors blown off. Now this is a different team. But that was the last time they faced this kind of pressure. The show me pressure. Now the expectations, the smoke blowing up their collective rear ends. That is different now too. The nobody wants to see this team. Okay. How do you respond when you're the nobody wants to see us team? Do you keep kicking ass and taking names, or do you say, oh yeah, we're the team no one wants to see? Because the Giants would love nothing more to get right back in the NFC playoff race themselves. Even though they don't belong there, they would love nothing more than to beat the Packers again and say, hey, actually, we're not out of this NFC playoff race. How do the Packers respond to the pressure? That is the next touchstone in their development as this young team. And if they come out tonight and beat the crap out of the Giants, there's going to be some group of fans that go, oh, well, it's just the Giants. No, no. This is different now. This is different. Yes, the Giants are not a very good football team. But they also just beat some other not very good football teams, and they can make this work. Now, with the pressure of being favorites on the road in prime time, how do you respond? We're going to see. And we're going to talk about this bizarre situation with Jaire Alexander that is made more bizarre by the conversations being had around it. We're going to talk about all of that coming up in a second here on Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at DoorDash. When you need something and you don't have time to cook, this is a problem I face a couple times a week where it's like, oh, I intended to go to the grocery store, but between the kids and my wife gets home from work and you're just like, okay, what do we do? Well, the answer more often than not is DoorDash. And sometimes it is, oh, I went to the grocery store, but I went at noon and I'm going to make something and then realize, oh, I forgot onion. Or I got the wrong thing. I got cilantro when I needed to get parsley. Usually parsley when I needed to get cilantro. DoorDash can help with all of those things, getting you ready-made food, pre-made food, or groceries so you can make food yourself. All the local restaurants that you want to eat at, chances are they're on DoorDash. Get 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more on your first order. When you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKED23. Subject to change, terms do apply. That's code LOCKED23 for 50% off up to a $10 value on your first order when you download the DoorDash app and spend $15 or more. Subject to change and terms do apply. Locked On has launched the first ever 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube, Locked On Sports Today, here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. All right, this is a weird one for myriad reasons. Jair Alexander is not going to play Monday night, despite the fact that he once again practiced on a limited basis over the course of the week. Now, the shoulder injury is apparently the kind of injury that inhibits tackling, for example. So you can play in shells, you can play thud even. It doesn't have the same sort of impact. We don't know quite what's happening here, but we know it's a shoulder injury. And then had the back injury, those can be related depending on the kind of injury that they are. We don't know what is going on with the injury. And so any of the speculation that he's not actually hurt or that he's not hurt this bad or that the Packers should just trade him because he clearly doesn't want to be there, I don't know where that's coming from. I don't understand what that's about. He played last year. 21, he had the injury, but he played last year. Now, I didn't think he was nearly as good as he was in 2020, but he had more interceptions. I thought the play, the variance was much higher. Getting burned by bad receivers. It's not a good look when you're an elite corner. And Jair Alexander, to be clear, an elite football player. Now, he had not played well even when he was on the field this season. Rasul Douglas had been meaningfully better. I think even Carrington Valentine has been meaningfully better than Jair Alexander was when he was healthy. So that puts you in a nice position where you're not losing as nearly as much as most teams would when they lose a T1A kind of corner. And in this case, both. They're winning games with Corey Ballantyne and Carrington Valentine. It looks like they're going to get Eric Stokes back this week. If it were me, I would start him for Ballantyne. But you have now this nice option. The calls for trading him and insisting that he has to be anything less than injured, we don't really have a basis for that. And so I think the speculation is overwrought. It's overblown. At the same time, there are fans and media and you know, I do not besmirch alternative media. I don't even like that term, but like bloggers, you know, I write a newsletter, you know, I've worked for legacy media and I've worked as a blogger on, you know, these digital only brands. So this is not a shot at them at all. But that is mostly where it's coming from. Meanwhile, the longtime beat reporters, the guys that are mostly guys, but people that are there every day, seem to think that this is a weird situation, that there's something going on here. And I asked Lily Zhao about it. And she said, yeah, this is weird. What's going on is weird. It's a weird vibe. And that, you know, that is from someone who is in that locker room. And you have Rob Domofsky asking Jair Alexander, this is, are you only not playing because of the shoulder? Like, is it just the injury or is there something else? And then you have Matt Schneidman at The Athletic going, you're getting all this money. Do you feel obligated to be out there? You're getting a question. I'm sorry that I didn't catch who asked it about it might've been a follow-up from one of those two guys. Has the organization been supportive of you? JR pauses and says, definitely. The whole performance on Friday was weird, but the whole vibe around his absence is also weird. To have Joe Barry say, hey, looks pretty good out there. Been limited a couple practices, but we're optimistic. And then now two games in a row to be missed after that. And we don't have a lot of clarity on what the injury is, what the limitations are, those kinds of things. And then he comes out and he says, well, you know, I'll talk, but I'm just going to lie. That's a weird thing to say. Like, forget the double championship belts that he's got around. Like, I don't care. Forget the sunglasses. He's always done that. Like, this is not about, you know, the swag. This did not strike me as the kind of thing being done to add levity to the locker room. There weren't guys laughing around him as he's doing this. It wasn't a funny thing. He is a funny guy. He is a charismatic player. And I'm sure his energy does trickle out into the rest of the locker room. I don't see any reason to believe that that's what's happening. And there are yet these fans and people who cover the team. I don't want to make too many distinctions here, but it is generally people covering the team from the outside, which again, I need to be very clear about this because I am someone who, by the way, covers the team from the outside. So this is not a knock to set up the delineation, but I do think it's important in this case that there is this defense like, this isn't weird. Why are people being weird? I understand wanting to say the calls for him to be traded or cut or whatever in the same way it was dumb with David Bakhtiari last year and into this year. That is dumb. But to act like it's not a weird situation when it was obviously for 2.5 years a weird situation with David Bakhtiari is also dumb. Don't do that. It is okay to acknowledge the oddity. I keep coming back to the word weird. It's weird. It's weird. And it's okay to say that without empowering the dum-dums who are always just going to go right to negativity on Twitter for shock value. Like, there is always going to be the, I'm mad, so I'm going to go on social media and, you know, pound a player's image and go, oh, no, this guy sucks. Get him out of here. He doesn't want to be here. And you know, it is also different when someone like Gary Ellerson, a former NFL player, says the same thing. That holds a different kind of weight. That's not just some, you know, reactionary fan on Twitter popping a tweet off behind, you know, name 16 letters and, you know, Rice Krispie Treats avatar. It's a different kind of thing. And for him to say, no, this is weird, I'd be okay if they traded him, get these guys out of here. Of course, David Bakhtiari had some thoughts about being shaded as part of that discussion. It is clear to me, and I don't know how anyone with eyes open could not see that this is weird. What is happening is weird. The behavior is weird. The vibes are weird. But we don't know anything more than that. And so to speculate about the right course of action moving forward, I think is also just faulty. Like, if we had an actual indication that, let's say there's tension between Jair Alexander and Joe Barry, let's just say that that's the case. Jerry Gray was his boy, not in the building anymore. He doesn't love the defense, doesn't love the calls. We're just saying that, let's just say, wouldn't you act kind of like this? You might. So I understand the leap that is being made, but we also do not have any indication outside of just sort of some like weird circumstances and slightly weird behavior from a guy who's already an eccentric, funny, charismatic dude to jump right to, oh, just trade him. Just because they've won some games does not mean it would not be much better to get Jair Alexander back on this team. It would be much better to get him back. Now, last thing I want to say on this, if it is the case, and again, we don't know, but if it is the case that there is an issue of some kind between Jair Alexander and Joe Barry, if that is the case, if that is the case, I hope that the team, the organization, takes that kind of thing seriously. Because if the choice is Joe Barry or Jair Alexander, sorry, Joe, enjoy the time with your family. Like that's, it's much harder for me to find an all-pro caliber corner than it is to find a Fangio tree disciple who can come in and run this very talented defense at a league average level. And last year was a below league average level with Jair Alexander. So I hope that if there is feedback to be had in that way, that is being, it is being taken seriously by those who are the decision makers. Matt LaFleur in particular, he's in charge of his staff. And I would hope Matt LaFleur would be able to mediate any sort of potential differences if they exist. We don't know, and we don't even have a hint. We don't even have rumors or reporting that there's something weird going on beyond the just sort of general vibes right now. No indication that there's something else here. So let's not jump to conclusions, but let's also acknowledge it's kind of weird. Okay? Sounds good. All right. Where do the Packers stand as we head into Monday Night Football in the NFC playoff picture? We're going to dig into it to close the show in just a second here on Locked On Packers. Today's episode brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks, the most fun you can have, winning up to 25 times your money. Guess what? It's always fun to win 25 times your money. You put in 10 bucks, you win 250. Like, that seems like a good time. Pretty good time. Plus, with the NBA season here, and really now full swing, you can combine your lineups. You can mix NBA and NFL. You can put Tucker Kraft together with Damian Lillard. That sounds pretty fun to me. Put a couple players together and you can win up to 25 times your money. Why wouldn't you want to do that? $10 in, $250 back. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to do it? Prize Picks now offers Apple Pay too for quick and easy deposits into an account this football season. So what are you waiting for? Go to prizepicks.com/lockedonNFL and use code LockedOnNFL for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/LockedOnNFL and use code LockedOnNFL for a first deposit match up to $100. Daily fantasy sports made easy. That's Prize Picks. And thanks to everyone who makes Locked On Packers their first listen every day. We hope you like starting your day with us as much as we like starting our day with you. Locked On has launched the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel on YouTube. Locked On Sports Today, here for you 24/7, covering the top sports stories of the day with the local experts of Locked On, plus our national shows covering every league. Go to Locked On Sports Today on YouTube and subscribe to the first ever national sports 24/7 streaming channel. Last thing here. In a way, it seems almost silly to even parse this, because what the Packers have done by beating the Lions and beating the Chiefs is they've given themselves wiggle room. And as you look at the standings in the NFC, okay, the Rams, you know, sitting there, if the Packers win, there'll be a game up on the Rams. The Vikings, they'll have the same record as the Vikings. You've got whatever's happening in the NFC South. The Packers play Tampa Bay in a week. Does it really matter? Like, am I really going to spend 5 minutes breaking down the nuances of, okay, the Falcons lost, and so now technically they're in second, even though the Bucs have the same record and the Packers have to play them, and they already lost to the Falcons, but they beat the Saints and they're 6-7, and these are the schedules remaining. I kind of don't care. I kind of don't care about any of this. The Rams losing is good. We know that. But the most important thing that happened on Sunday from a playoff perspective is something we talked about at the top. And that is the Lions losing. Because if they lose just one game to the Vikings and one game to, let's say, the Cowboys, but just the Vikings is enough, in addition to one other loss, 11-6, and the Packers went out, they win the division. Now that depends on unless the Vikings also win out, but then that would mean the Lions take another loss. And then it gets really complicated. That's not going to happen. The Vikings are not going to run the slate with Nick Mullins. They're not going to beat the Lions twice. And it necessitates them playing the Packers. And the Packers, if the Packers win out, they have to beat the Vikings. That's just how the math works. Someone has to lose that game. If the Packers win out, it has to be the Vikings who lose that game. It's not that I don't love digging into all these scenarios. I do. But now that the division is back in play, and I know this is a weird thing to say, two games back, really 2.5 games because the Packers haven't played. Let's just, if they get to 7-6, two games back. It does feel, given the remaining schedule, more likely that the Packers would run the slate than the Lions would lose fewer than two games. That is a crazy place to be at this point in the season. But that seems to be where we are right now. Now, all of this could be proven a futile exercise in a couple hours if the Packers fall on their faces against the Giants. And look, they could. We've seen them do it. We've seen them have opportunities to grab their season by the scruff of its neck and say, I'm taking control. And the Packers went, nah. They let it slip through their fingers. And you go to Las Vegas and you lose to a bad Raiders team. And you go to Denver and the Broncos have won a bunch of games since then, but that was a bad Broncos team that they played at the time. Now they've played, again, they've played, I don't want to call it inspiring since then, but you look up at the standings, the Broncos are a game back of the Chiefs in the AFC West. A game back of the Chiefs. They're 7-6. They're back in this thing, much in the same way the Packers are. And it was the Broncos beating the Packers that put them on that path. So all of these things do matter in terms of playoff seeding. But they only matter if the Packers stumble in some of these games where they will be favored to win. They are, especially now that the Vikings have come back down to earth, that the Dobbs sanity has subsided. They're going to be favored the rest of the way if they stay relatively healthy. If Jordan Love stays healthy, you know, if that's really it. If Jordan Love stays healthy, they'll be favored in every single game. Will they go 5-0? You know, maybe. But they're going to be favored in all these games. So whatever model you want to look at, New York Times, ESPN, you know, whatever. The fact that the Packers are going to be favored in all these games gives them a really good chance. And if you look at the models, the Packers have about a coin flip chance if they win out to get the division. I think it's probably, frankly, better than that. Because they're definitely, the Lions will definitely not be favored against the Cowboys. And as much as I've just said, you know, the Vikings don't look like a great team. Nick Mullins, who knows what's going on there. Detroit looks terrible. They look bad. Like bad. They look like a bad team right now. And do you have any more or less faith in the Vikings versus the Lions right now? I don't. And so if those are going to be coin flip games and you've got two left, all the Vikings have to do is win one. That makes this all very, very interesting. Now, I know that fans are going to get upset with me, Peter. There's a game to play tonight, all that stuff. I get it. Nothing I say on this show, I promise, has any bearing on how the Packers are going to play on Monday Night Football. I promise. I promise. So I can talk about it. I don't think the team is thinking we can go win the North now as they get set to play the Giants. I hope they're not. I hope they're not. But it's there for them. And that, to me, you know, if their sights ever wavered, if they were just like, okay, and it would be fine. Like, I get it. Hey, let's just get back on track. Okay, now they're back on track. Now they're winning these games. Well, now the Lions lose. Hey, the North is there for us. Let's go chase it. And that could actually be the carrot that they need, or the carrot that keeps them. Maybe they don't need it, but it is the sort of inciting thing that they can do or use to push themselves to stay focused down this stretch where you have these games against a bunch of bad teams like the Panthers, the Giants, the Bears. These are bad teams. Bad teams. I think the Vikings are probably a bad team. The Bucs are like a meh team. Now that the division is back in play, in a lot of ways, it is the most important thing about this season because it can allow the Packers to stay focused on a goal and say, look, we got to win all these games. We got to stay focused on all these games because it's not just the wild card. No, no. The NFC North is back in the picture. And that's the thing that could help galvanize this team as they try and come down the stretch to win out, to run the table TM, to get there. And they have a chance to win 8 straight to close their season and to get into the playoffs and to be a 3 seed. Now, winning all those games and being a 3 seed, that doesn't matter. Play well every week. Give your best. That's what matters. Grow as a team. Win these games. Show progress. That's the stuff that matters. But it's pretty nice to win. And it's pretty nice to win your division. And it's pretty nice to be a 3 seed to host a playoff game at Lambeau Field. A 3-6 matchup with the Lions. With a chance to avenge the week 4 game. With a chance to avenge the last game ever played in a Packers uniform by Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love gets to do that. That'd be pretty cool. All right. We're going to be live tonight after the game on YouTube. Go subscribe to us over there. Yes, live Monday Night Football, Packers and Giants. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live, we'll be live after the game tonight on our Locked On Packers YouTube page. So you can stay Locked On Packers.